Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. My president is
don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. You know, this is the first show that we've done since Prince passed away. So, you know, I wanted to start off the show with some Prince music. On this program, Carnival Cruise becomes the first U.S. cruise ship to arrive in Cuba since 1978. Barbie revealed that they have a Misty Copeland doll and hopes to inspire the next generation of kids. And rap legend Tupac's mother, Afeni Shakur, has died in her home at the age of 69 from a suspected heart attack, and teen birth rates in the U.S. are at a record low. Also, New York's top court raised the bar for DNA evidence, and California lawmakers rejected the John Wayne Day because of his racist comments. We have that and a bunch more. Sexual assaults on report on college campuses increased 120% in the past decade. We have that. Much more. This week in court and everything else. So I just want to welcome you on to Esprit.net News. This is where you get a week worth of news in just one setting. Now, if this is your first time joining us, hey, we're here every Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we do our weekly wrap-up show. And if you want to write us or send us an email, send it to news@soulofsyracuse.com if you have any questions or comments that you would like to, or stories that you would like to hear on this show. All right, now our dial-in number is area code 323-693-3038. If you're on the line, if you're checking us out in the chat room, hey, you know, send your questions or comments there. Just wanted to start off with that. And also, you know, since I didn't talk about the passing of Prince, I just want to say that, you know, if you go to SoloSyracuse.com, wrote an article for those true Prince fans who want to recall their own stories about the greatest entertainer, you know, the Pharaoh Prince has passed away. And I say that because he's not only the greatest musician, probably, of the great musicians that have passed, he is a god to all musicians who were here on earth. So I want to make sure we gave him a proper dialogue to set up the show. And if you want to any questions or comments, feel free to join in. Also, you know, seriously, college basketball great Dwayne Pearl Washington passed away, and during the same week. And then Pearl Washington from Boys and Girls High in Brooklyn played for Syracuse University basketball. At the beginning of the Big East tournament, pretty much made the Big East what it is, and made the Carrier Dome what it is today for college basketball and the landscape of college basketball. Pearl Washington was a friend of mine. I actually know Pearl, and just want to say he was a great and humble kid. So, you know, if I shouldn't call him a kid, he's older than I am, but you know, he passed away. Just wanted to make sure I gave a shout out for Pearl Washington as well. Again, you know, been a bad time for, you know, just people in general. A lot of people passing away, a lot of celebrities. So wanted to start off the show by kind of acknowledging that that Prince passed away. All right. Now, our first story, U.S. manufacturers expanded in April for the second straight month, suggesting that factories are adapting to, I guess, a stronger dollar and the economic weakness overseas. So they're adjusting to it, so we're doing well. Now, Powerball jackpot is raised to $415 million just 3 months after, I guess, the $1.5 billion that it was. There was no winner on Wednesday night, so the drawing is for the 18th time in a row, no winner. It's increased from $348 million to an estimated $415 million, which is probably going to be more before Saturday. So if you're not in it and you want to get in it, hey, Powerball is available for you. Now, a three billion year old diamond the size of a tennis ball, the largest discovery in over a century, could sell for close to $90 million. That's Canadian, by the way, as auctioneer Sotheby's released that this week. The auction house plans to offer the, I guess it's Lacetti La Rona diamond in London on June 29th. The diamond was unearthed in November in Botswana at a mining company that's owned by a company in Canada. It measures 1,109 carats. It's the second largest gem quality rough diamond ever discovered. Its name means our light in the Tswana language of southern Africa. And mind you, some foreign country mined it out of Africa. Just wanted to put that out there. Now, the Lacetti La Rona could smash the record price for a diamond of $48.5 million U.S., or about $61.5 in Canadian. Now, that was paid at a Geneva sale last year for a 12.03-carat polished Blue Moon diamond. A Hong Kong billionaire picked it up as a gift for his 7-year-old daughter, if you want to know what that diamond is. Okay. Now, First Lady Michelle Obama delivers remarks at the International Jazz Day celebration this past week at the White House in Washington, D.C. It was on April 29th, actually. It was last week. And the First Lady welcomed high school students from around the country for a jazz workshop featuring jazz legends Herbie Hancock, Dee Dee Bridgewater, Bobby Watson, and Terrence Blanchard. So I want to make sure I put that news story out there to say that not only was it a good week for the president, it was a good week for the First Lady. And here was the president's week. Now, the White House and Canadian officials are eyeing a June 29th or 30th as a date for U.S. President Barack Obama to address a joint session of Parliament. Now, the president had promised to visit Canada during Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's trip to Washington, D.C. in March at the state dinner. And now Mexican President Enrique Nieto is also expected to be in Ottawa for what they're calling in Canada the Three Amigos Summit, I guess, that will immediately precede the President Obama's address. The meeting would be the first between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico in more than 2.5 years. Now, former Prime Minister Stephen Harper postponed the last North American Leaders Summit in January 2015 over tensions about the Keystone XL pipeline, food labeling, and a range of other issues. So Mexico's president's visit to Ottawa is strictly dependent on Canada lifting its requirement that all Mexican visitors have visas. So it's a controversial measure that was put in place in 2009 to curb bogus asylum claims is what Canada's claiming. But, you know, we have to still see if this is going to go off. So since Canada didn't like the U.S. labeling their food that came from Canada, Mexico don't like Canada trying to put visas on their citizens where, you know, we can cross the border into Mexico freely in the United States and to Canada, but Canada is restricting Mexico. Well, hopefully that summit will jump off. We'll see how that goes. Now, the president also has said that he'll miss his oldest daughter terribly when she is ready to, but she's ready to do great things after she was accepted to Harvard. Now, the White House announced on Sunday that Malia, who's 17, will attend Harvard in the fall of 2017, following in her parents' footsteps. Now, she opted to defer her attendance by 1 year and will take a gap year in the meantime. Now, speaking about her upcoming move, the president said, "You know, I couldn't be prouder of her, but it's tough, though. This is my first one leaving, and my daughters are wonderful, and one of the greatest pleasures of being in the White House is because I live above the store. I've been able to spend every night that I'm in town with them." Her mother said she wants to become a filmmaker, and she spent last summer in New York working as an intern on a set of an HBO show, Girls. Now, if you don't know, Harvard accepted this year 5.2% of applicants. That was really tough this year, making the admission cycle one of the most selective in nearly four centuries. So she's a legacy student, so I just want you to know, don't think anything about it. All Ivy Leagues have legacy avenues that you can go into, opposed to regular general admissions. She's never going to be a general admit. Just wanted to share that. Now, even though the president and his wife can't wait to get out of the White House, they attended their eighth White House Correspondents Association dinner on April 30th. Now, the president drew plenty of laughs with his remarks with, you know, a ballroom full of reporters and journalists and politicians and movie stars and television stars. But it was his eighth appearance at the event and his last as president. Now, if you didn't see it, it is something to be seen. Just YouTube it or something or go online. I'm sure there's plenty of clips out there. But he said that in his remarks that if this material doesn't work well, I'm going to use it at Goldman Sachs next year and earn me some serious Tubmans. Now, if you don't know anything about the White House Correspondents' Dinner, it's when the president gets up and, you know, kind of makes fun of a lot of things, you know, throws some jabs at himself, opponents, or anything in particular. But this year was particularly special because he didn't have the pressure of trying to impress anybody or whatever, or worrying about polling backlash stuff. So he was pretty much freer and funnier. Now, I know a lot of people kind of commented about why does the comedian go on before, or why doesn't he go on before the president? And here's something special. Presidents normally are not that funny. This president just happened to be funnier than all the comedians that ever went up. So it looks like the dinner goes down, but they hire professional comedians because presidents are usually not, don't have good timing like that. But this president did. He also pointed out that his approval ratings are up. He said, "The last time I was this high, I was trying to decide on my major." And when he said that he couldn't explain his rise in popularity, he also put up two photographs of that appeared in that ballroom of Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. So his ratings are going up because of these two clowns. But after calling the presidential candidate Bernie Sanders a bright new face of the Democratic Party, the president contrasted the slogan "Feel the Burn" with what he said was a great slogan. You know, he said, "I had mine. Feel the Burn is great." But he contrasts "Feel the Burn" with a picture for a slogan for Hillary saying, "Tug up the hill." And he says, "I only have two more words to say." At the end of his speech, he said, "Obama out," and dropped the mic. So, as usual, you know, it was a great show. If you get a chance to see it. Democratic candidate, obviously, Bernie Sanders was there. I shouldn't say obvious, but Bernie Sanders was there. Vice President Joe Biden, Secretary of State John Kerry, and other government officials. Now, I'm not going to go on who the professional comedian was there because he wasn't funny. So he won't make this show either. All right, there you have it. All right, now let's go to the phone lines. I want to let you know you're listening to Esprinet News on Esprin Radio. You can call in and join us. Area code 323-693-3038. I am going to bring in Kathleen. I know I didn't do a lot of news yet today, but it was actually pretty funny, so I just want to bring in the commish, Kathleen. How are you, Kathleen?
Kathleen out. Bam!
Did you get a chance to see it?
I saw all the clips that said Obama dropped the mic, and I said, I knew he had it in him.
Oh, no.
He's probably been holding this since 2008.
No, you know what was actually cool about it? I don't remember doing this. I think I did do this news story when he did the nuclear summit when all of the world leaders came to D.C., and it was like 54 of them or so. But during the pictures, you know how they kind of all stand straight with all the world leaders and they take the pictures? On the relaxed picture, he throws up the peace sign. Like, I'm like, he is out of here. So he did that like a month ago.
I am
waiting for him to tell somebody kick rocks. Like, he's just going to go off the rails. Kick rocks, whatever, bounce. So I'm looking forward to that. But it was actually hilarious. He did a great job. Well, like he always does.
Now, what was all the brouhaha about one of the comedians calling him the N-word?
Yeah, I was skipping over that.
That. I know I
no, 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 no. I will because you brought it up. But it was it was comedian Larry Wilmore, who has the Tonightly Show that's on after, you know, the Daily Show. And so the president did crack a joke and says, hey, Comedy Central has two black guys kind of thing. And he said that, you know, and aren't you the one from South Africa? And Larry Wilmore is not. But he was supposed, I mean, he's the professional entertainment. And he said that it's not easy following the president and all this other stuff. But at the end, he said, I just feel like I need to say this. And, you know, and he said, you're my N-word or something like that or something to that degree. I mean, and the president was still gracious and kind of gave him his shout-out back, but he shouldn't have done that. That was just ignorant and crazy. I mean, I don't know why he tried so hard. Now, Larry Wilmore, if you don't know, he was the executive producer of the PJs, you know, the Eddie Murphy stuff, and he produced Martin, the Jamie Foxx show, A Live in Color. He's done a lot of really, you know, really good sitcoms. I think the Chris Rock show. So he's worked with those guys who have a mouth like that, but they would never have done that. So, you know, it always disturbs me when you have, and I dare say, suburban black folks, like people who assimilate being black, thinking that that's funny, where black folks who grew up around black folks would never do something like that. So he wanted to prove his blackness to the president, and he says something that was so, you can tell that's not in him. But he thinks, no. Oh, you know, I'm black, I can actually use those words. Now, Larry Woodward, he's probably close to, if I had to guess, he's probably close to 60-something, so he may have known, I mean, he knows Eddie Murphy really well and produced all of those shows with them. And like I said, he's probably around Paul Mooney and those guys. He probably knows them too, but that's not his background. So he used it out of context. You know, and it wasn't the room. It wasn't the room for that. It was politicians and journalists. So what do you thought that all the black folks were going to be like? Huh?
I don't know what made him think that was ever going to be appropriate. I don't care if they were behind closed doors. It's not appropriate.
I know.
The man, you know, there's, you know, he is at a place, and it's bad enough that we have to listen to all these people calling him Obama without the president, right? You know, people
right.
still call Clinton President Clinton. And so, and this President Obama is still seated in the White House. And all these media reporters, people, you know, all the stuff we have to listen to from the other communities that is so disrespectful, it just is ridiculous. In this day and age, if this man thought that that was an okay thing to do there. I really want to know who slapped him upside the head afterwards or before.
And the thing is that he kind of thinks of it like a badge of honor. I've seen Tonightly. It's not funny. And, you know, I wouldn't say he crossed the line. See, a good comedian that crossed the line is at least funny. He tries to make political statements. He's obviously a Hillary Clinton supporter from some of the stuff that he said, and even his jokes that he craps on Bernie. But it is interesting. I was at an event this past weekend, and people were saying, you know, President Obama is going to support Hillary. And if you look at the jokes that the president cracked on Hillary during that whole thing and not on Bernie, you would see what side the president was on. I cannot believe, like, the media picked, oh, yeah, he said some things that kind of sound like it favored Hillary, but he started off the conversation with, sorry, I'm late. I was on CPT, right? And he said, white people can't use that. That's what the president says. You can't say CP time. So it was hilarious, like, even when you're taking a shot, but for you being black, just to say, to be in a room full of white folks to prove that you're black is just, matter of fact, it's not just disrespectful, it's just flat out ignorant, right? I can't even sugarcoat that at all for him.
No,
Blair Whitmore is, he deserves no respect at all.
No, none. I won't say that, but it's difficult for me to have compassion for him. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I really, like I said. Okay, we won't go up. See, I guess I should save that fool for the end. But here we go. Let's give him some news. All right, so I'll try to run through some. Now, the oldest Second World War veteran died at 110. He was in Louisiana. Frank Livingston. He was born in 1905. He served for the Army and the Italian campaign before he was honorably discharged in 1945. He'll be buried next week. Oldest person, World War II. And,
wow, thank you for your service.
Yes. But, you know, New York, former New York top political broker, Sheldon Silver, he gets 12 years in federal prison for corruption. Now, he was the former assembly speaker. He was sentenced this week for corruption charges. And the Justice Department in North Carolina said the anti-LGBT bathroom laws violate civil rights and cannot be enforced. Now, the department has put the state of North Carolina on notice that it's in danger of being sued and losing hundreds of millions of dollars in federal funding if they enforce that. Now,
if they do enforce it or if they don't enforce it?
If they do. They notify them that they are breaking, they're in violation of civil rights laws, and that cannot be enforced. Even if you have it on the books, like we know that slavery was on the books in Mississippi until maybe, I want to say probably 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. It stayed in their constitution. They just recently took it out. But you can't enforce a law that breaks federal law, or Fed won't give you any of your federal funding at all in your state. So that's why they're saying, okay, you can keep that law in your books if you want to, but you can't enforce it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was wondering why all these other states are able to do it. They're just, you know, they passed it here.
Yeah. Did they pass in New York State?
Yeah. They were talking about it with De Blasio and a bunch of other folks, they were talking about it and said that they, in school, I believe they said, transgender people are able to use whatever bathroom they choose.
Oh, no, 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 no. We're talking about anti-LGBT bathroom laws, like the ones that say that you have the right to tell an LGBT person to get out of a bathroom. You can't discriminate for bathrooms.
Oh, okay. Anything
that singles a person out, you can't do. Federal law says that you can't do. So they passed the rule saying that you can.
Why can't you tell men not to use the ladies' room and women not to use the men's room, but you can't tell them to get out? What is that?
I don't know what the distinction is, but I can tell you this, that they don't ask you for ID when you go in the bathroom, and maybe they should, but I'm just saying they just don't. And so to pick someone out, I think, is the problem. So you're going to have, you know what I mean? Like, it can be intrusive. So
you can't
strip search somebody.
For ID, don't they?
Who does?
I mean, never mind. Go ahead. With,
okay,
on
never
with
mind.
The news.
All right. On with the news. Now, stealing a small amount of food when you are desperate is not a crime, according to Italy's highest court. Now, the Italian Supreme Court has ruled that a Ukraine national who is entitled to steal a small amount of food to satisfy his nutritional requirements overturned his jail sentence and his fine. They let him out of jail. Now, I happen to agree with this law. You should not be getting 12 years for stealing pizza, right? People kill people and get out of jail faster than somebody who stole, like, 10 cents worth of bubble gum. I think there should be some kind of cap on that. But in Italy, that's not a crime.
And
you probably get a fine.
This brings us to the guy who stole, what, $31 worth of candy?
Right. Right, so you shouldn't be prosecuting them. And that makes sense. I always like laws or judges who use really good common sense. We can't say, in the United States, we're crazy. It's like, we need to send a message. It's like, who are you sending a message to? I mean, I don't really get that. It's, you know what I mean? If we let him off, then other people won't learn. It's just the dumbest thing ever. But here we go. Now, Carnival Cruise became the first cruise ship operator to dock in Cuba in almost four decades. The ship arrived in Havana on Monday, and it set sail on Sunday from the port of Miami, carrying about 700 passengers. Now, Carnival previously received permission from both the United States and Cuba for the voyage, but the trip was almost canceled because of the Cuban policy that prohibits people born in Cuba to returning to the island by sea. Now, Carnival is the world's largest cruise ship operator, and they threatened to abandon their plans to do business with Cuba, but in late April, the Cuban government reversed the Cold War policy. Let me say this for the record. Carnival wasn't going to ban Jack, because if Royal Caribbean would have came in that piece, they would have been like, okay, we're sorry. I like when they say that. It's like, if you don't change your policy, we ain't doing business with you. Cuba don't stand to lose money. You do. Just to let you know. Now, Barbie is set to launch a brand new doll made by the likeness of the ballerina Misty Copeland.
I love it.
Announced that Monday in collaboration. The collaboration was described as a way to continue to show girls that they can be anything. So Copeland is famous for being the first African-American female principal dancer at the American Ballet Theater in 2015. She said, I always dreamt of becoming an ABT, the American Ballet Theater, ballerina, and through Barbie, I was able to play out those dreams early on, is what Copeland said in the statement about her partnership with Mattel, the Barbie company. She said, it's an honor to be an inspiration for the next generation of kids with my very own Barbie doll. Now, these dolls will start at $29.95, and they're going to roll out nationwide soon, is what they said.
No, they actually hit the store this week.
Okay, Yeah, because the announcement was Monday, so it was planned on this week to be released nationwide.
Yeah.
So they may have started in certain small markets first.
Yeah.
Yep. Beyonce unleashed the record Lemonade with her one-hour HBO special, which she performs the song Sorry about infidelity. And she was seen swinging a baseball bat in anger and all this other good stuff, and raged against Becky with the good hair. And the video was accompanied by a track called Don't Hurt Yourself, where the singer takes off a ring and throws it at the camera while she's singing, if you try this stuff again, that's me not cursing, you'll get to lose your wife. Most of the discussion since the Lemonade album drop has focused on the no-holds-barred lyric, which, you know, seemed like a woman scorn thing. But Lemonade, just to tell you, is number one on the Billboard charts. So I want to give it up to Beyonce. She does what she wants to. And,
wow,
you know, yes. And also this week, Beyonce went from Lemonade to Watermelon Water as she becomes an investor into a startup beverage company after making the world stop after she dropped her album. She's now taking on another venture. So she's an investor into a startup company called WTR, Watermelon Water. That's what it's
called. I love that. I remember, and you know, I haven't heard the whole Lemonade thing. I missed the video when it aired, and all I know is about the Lemonade and Becky with the good hair. I was like, I wish I could hear the Lemonade song.
Yeah, you know, I heard, I actually saw it. I saw the HBO special. I think this past weekend, not when it aired, but I saw it, and the visuals are great. I don't mean that in a sexist kind of way, just as guys, but I mean she really, really did a good job. I guess where the whole formation stuff came for the Super Bowl performance, she really went into, like, Louisiana, sung some songs with, you know, old blues singers kind of stuff, and it was not whitewashed at all. And I'm purely amazed at the level of talent that she is for her being that daring to just go out and say, you know what, forget this. I'm not going to play into whatever society wants me to do. And she really took it off the grid on this. And as amazing as that is, you see singers like Adele saying how her crush or her admiration for Beyonce creativity wasn't misplaced. Like, she's worshiping a big Beyonce poster. Adele is. And it for
wow.
good reason. Yeah, for good reason, though. Beyonce is doing her thing on that. So it's an amazing shot piece, and even her clothes, and, you know, and I'm not big on this, but I'm just saying for the creativity side, she did an amazing job. Much respect to her. And I'm sure I think Jay-Z is coming out with a response album to it. So if she's doing a woman score thing, I can't imagine how his record sales is going to do as well. Now, last year, Prince and Jay-Z, with his Tidal brand, had a press conference of him merging his whole catalog with Tidal to try to get artists to be free of their record companies. And it's interesting that Beyonce and Jay-Z are playing outside of the spectrum of major record companies. They're making all this money, and it's going directly to them. Prince has been trying to get people to do that for years, and now people are finally hearing them. Yep.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I was going to say to you that what B is doing sounds so much like a tribute to Prince, because this is what he stood for all the time. Oh, sorry for the noise.
Yeah.
Stood for all this time. So I was just really taken back by how she, like you're saying, how she has, you know, thrown caution to the wind again, and just did what the heck she wanted to do. It's just so impressive. And like you said, she's such an amazing talent. It's such a pleasure to be able to see the raw talent that she is.
Yep. And for me, even in the Prince, there's a couple of things I've actually learned, and I was a Prince fan for a long time, so Prince friend. Anybody who's been a fan long enough knew that Prince hated the term fan. So at some point in the 80s, Prince said that he considered them friends. Fanatics were just kind of nuts to him. So, you know, I've been in places where they just roped stuff off and Prince just walked around talking to everybody. He just wasn't that kind of person. So in hearing, like, all of these stories from people who knew him, the story about him checking on, I guess it was, I can't remember her name. Lauren Hill's kids and all this other stuff, and all of the people coming out saying, yep, Prince came and did this for me, and he did this for me. I think with his passing, again, we're going to hear 1,000 stories about how much he did for everybody, and it reminds me, you know, that the young folks are starting to pick that up, you know, and I mean this respectfully because Beyonce is not that young, but all the stuff that she does and the companies that they invest in, the companies that Jay-Z is, and so I'm sure that he found a way to kind of help them along their path over the years to this point because, you know, Beyonce is mentoring. I think she had Zendaya on the program with her for the Lemonade stuff. She had the two internet stars, the two girls who are phenomenal singers. She just came out and said, I'm going to mentor them. So they're actually with her. And they had a show on the Disney Channel as well, but she's kind of taken them up under her wing, and she flat out is in no apologies from Beyonce. I have respect for her for a lot of stuff that she's doing kind of behind the scenes without getting publicity for it. She's doing the same thing. So one thing I learned from Prince, and, you know, just for me, is that forget major media saying that you're mysterious and people don't know you. If the people who actually know you and are your friends are saying good things about you, that's all you need. Major media does not matter. They really don't. All right. Now, just before we go back to that, because I know I probably have 2 billion things to say about that. You know, JetBlue handed out free flights to passengers when babies cry in a bid to stop mothers and tots from being given what they said was the side eye in the news story. I don't really like when mainstream tries to use like slang, but anyway. They said they were trying to raise awareness for the strains of mothers who are traveling with tots. So JetBlue invited several moms with babies into a California flight and then awarded 25% discounts every time the baby cried. And so they gave people, they said they don't know if they're going to implement it across the board, but they gave free flights for everybody who tolerated, who did not get crazy. They gave them free tickets. I don't know if I ever really care. It's irritating to see people complain to the flight attendant. That's irritating. I should get 25% off to hearing that nonsense. Some people have some entitlement issues that irritate me more than a baby crying. Grown folks.
I wish they would just let me get my seat for free and not charge $5 for my suitcase. Just give me that, and you can pack the plane with babies all day and night.
We know how that goes. they figure nickel and dime. Here we go.
Oh, please.
Yep. Now, elephants, you know, on Barnum & Bailey Circus and Ringling Brothers, you know, elephants have performed for the last time for Barnum & Bailey, or for Ringling Brothers. They had 11 Asian female elephants from Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus that are being retired because of the change in attitudes from having the animals perform. Now, they were going to do that for a year from now, but they actually moved it up and just retired them. They said the animals took to the ring in Providence, Rhode Island, in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and ended nearly a century and a half of their tradition of having elephants perform. So they'll be housed in Florida at the company's facility.
So are they going to get Social Security?
I don't think so. All right. Now, FSU Seminole fans are told to stop wearing Native American headdresses to athletic games because they're representing representative of other tribes. Now, FSU said that it passed a resolution because many headdresses worn at athletic events are representing other tribes, in particular the Plains tribes like the Sioux and not the Seminoles. Well, we're going to see how this plays because, you know, people normally just stereotype all Native Americans, so they put on a headdress anyway. It's probably not going to fly. Just to put that out there. But, hey, they're going to try to do something about it. Now, Nestle's is launching a bizarre new cheese-flavored chocolate bar. I don't know what this means, Kathleen, but it just sounds disgusting. Kit Kat Japan has launched a melon and something cheese-flavored version of their classic chocolate bar. And they said it had mixed reactions on social media. Mixed reactions? I want some chocolate and that tastes like cheese.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There would be nothing mixed about my reaction. Okay. And first of all, for the record, cheese has no, and before the dairy folks come after me, it's alleged that cheese has no, you know, I usually don't care, has no nutritional value at all. It has zero nutritional value.
Wow.
Just like green beans, no nutritional value at all. That is hilarious to me. All right. So, all right. Now, a New York podiatrist, I don't know why I'm messing this up, and his girlfriend played a man to arrange the murder of his wife and mother of his three children so he could claim the insurance money, has been arrested. That's in New York. Now, Ira Bernstein, Kelly Meisner, Gerbiek, 36, they conducted a month-long investigation and recorded audio and video and wiretapping phone calls to find out that this guy is trying to kill his wife and his kids for insurance money.
Ooh-wee.
All right, on that note, I guess that means we must be leaving on a happy note.
That's happy?
No, it's not happy, but that is disgusting is all I want to say about that story. All right.
Okay.
So, no, we're not leaving on a happy note. I'm just saying that was just disgusting and bad. All right, now, I don't know why I thought that was kind of crazy. Now, the caretaker of a South Texas cemetery invoked a whites-only rule and turned away a woman who wanted to bury her Hispanic husband. So now they're in court. American GI Forum is claiming this in court. Can you believe somebody doesn't want to bury somebody because they're racist? Racist people are just really in their own. You know, I bet you he had a Trump sign up too, probably. I'm guessing. I don't know that to be sure, but I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah.
Hey, something new, right? And, hey, California officials are seeking more than $90 million in firefighting costs from Pacific Gas and Electric after finding that a deadly 2015 fire was sparked by a tree that came across a power line. I never heard of that happening. So you're going to sue the power company because a tree broke a power line that started a fire.
Right.
All right, California.
Oh, boy.
There you go. Hey, as we know, people can take you to court for anything. If they win, that's a whole nother story.
That's right. Did you talk about Alberta already?
About who?
Alberta, Canada, and the fires in Fort Mac.
No. What about them?
Yeah, they had to evacuate 90,000 people from this province in Alberta, Canada, and the fires are still